An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 12. Pan and Bell at Loggerheads.
"You promised you'd learn to fly if I helped bring those cursed girls to the Neverland," Bell accused in Trouble's ear.
The girls who were supposed to make up the merry band gaped at them with varying degrees of attention. It was early afternoon, and nap time, as far as Bell was concerned. Trouble had the lot of them doing what she'd called rowing drills this morning, and she'd barely let them stop since. Not that going round and round in circles, calling each other's names and splashing water everywhere looked particularly like rowing drills.
"Not now!"
Pater's air swatted her away and continued what she'd been doing for what seemed like hours. "As I was saying," she said, in what Bell had learned was her lecture voice, "knowing and using the basic sword-fighting stance well can be the difference between life and death." The youngest girl, the chocolate-brown one with the long eyelashes, who they called Thumb, started to cry.
"Shh!"
The older, reddish-brown girl with two shoulder-length braids said. She picked up the littlest and held her on one hip while rubbing her own eyes with a fist.
"I don't think that's right,"
the pretty Oriental girl with glasses, Bell thought her name was Midge, said, sounding irritated.
"What do you mean?"
Trouble was downright testy.
"In the books I've read about sword fighting, it never said you bend your knees that much."
"Well, we're not learning from a book, are we?" Piper snapped. "I'm showing you the real thing." Bell tried again, clearing her throat before saying in a low voice, "Why don't you give the poor kids a break and let me teach them to fly, since you're too stubborn?" Trouble flushed. Ignoring the jibe, she said to the group, "Look, guys, I know you think of me as Pipsqueak, the one who got caught trying to fly to the Neverland, but we're actually in the Neverland now. And, as it turns out, I'm Piper Pan. I'm trying to train you to be my merry band. Couldn't I get a little respect? I mean, I do know about sword fighting. I really do."
"Cut it out, will ya?"
Pudge's voice boomed. She lifted a fist and shook it at the twins.
"If either one of you hit me with a spitball again, I'm gonna give you what for."
Her red curly hair gave Belle a stab of longing for Peter, though this girl was twice the size. Completely identical in clothing as well as features, the twins' shiny dark hair looked as if it had been cut around an upside-down bowl. Their cherub faces would fool any jury, and their attention spanned no longer than the blink of an eye for anything but each other. The only thing they seemed to have going for them was their marksmanship. Dropping her head nearly to her chest, Trouble looked the picture of dejection. Bell took pity on her. Ignoring Peter Ayer's met admonition to let her do the talking, she flew forward.
"Why don't you all sit down over here and rest for a little while? You can introduce yourselves and help me get to know you," she said, using her sweetest tone.
A sound that reminded Bell of nothing more than elephant flatulence answered her. The girls began to giggle. Bell prepared to give them a piece of her mind when the smell hit her and she nearly gagged.
"What?"
she managed.
"I'm sorry."
The little blonde girl who needed some serious help in the grooming department stepped forward.
"I didn't mean to. Really, I didn't."
"You never mean to." The tone of Midge's voice made Bell think of a splinter shoved under a fingernail.
"That's why we call her Stinky," she explained to Bell. "She farts like a sailor."
Midge laughed. Bell raised an eyebrow.
"Have you ever heard a sailor fart?"
Midge looked less sure of herself.
"Well, no, I haven't."
"I have," Bell assured the know-it-all girl. "Sailor farts don't compare in the least to hers." She pointed to Stinky, who stepped closer, her pale face lighting up like a candle.
"Why don't you start?" Bell said. "Tell me your name, how old you are, and anything else I should know about you."
Trouble grumbled behind her. Bell ignored the protest.
"I'm Stinky," the blonde girl said, pushing her stringy hair out of her face. My real name is Sarah, but nobody calls me that. I'm 7 years old, and I think you're the most beautiful fairy in the world." Warmth filled Belle, and she blinked in surprise. "Why, thank you," she nodded, recovering. "Anything else I should know about you?" The girl shrugged, her eyes on the ground. She could be pretty with a good bath and with clothes that didn't hang on her little frame, Belle assessed. "All right," she said aloud. "You may sit down, Stinky." She gestured to the ground where the other girls clustered. "Who's next?" she asked.
"I'm the oldest. I'll go."
Pudge stood up, banging into the big brown girl on her way to her feet. "Watch it."
"Sorry,"
the redhead mumbled.
"I'm Pudge," she said in a jovial voice. "I guess you can see why I'm called that. I'm 12. I'm not really an orphan. My mom had me when she was 15, and then she ran off and left me with my grandma, who didn't want me, and neither did anybody else."
She spoke in a rush and shrugged like it was no big deal.
"They passed me around and then gave me away until I ended up at Fitch's."
She sat down.
"When's dinner time?" she asked, worriedly.
"Soon," Belle said, working to keep her face serene. There were so many children out there who needed finding and bringing to the Neverland. She'd only focused on the boys until now. "Who's next?" The big girl with the two braids stood.
"I'm Zonker. Zonk for short. I'm 11.
She sat down again. Belle blinked. "Why are you called Zonk?"
"Because she sleeps all the time," Midge retorted.
"Show her your tattoo," Stinky urged.
Zonk rolled up her left sleeve and showed off a rose tattooed on her shoulder.
"Very nice," Belle said, trying not to look shocked. She'd thought only pirates wore tattoos. "Anything else?"
Zonk shook her head.
"Nothing about your parents?"
Belle was afraid of the answer after Pudge's introduction. She didn't need to start feeling sorry for this lot.
"Maybe you could tell me how you got to be that lovely shade of reddish-brown," she suggested. Skin color seemed like a safe topic.
One eyebrow flew up in response, and one side of Zonk's mouth pulled back in a scowl. Midge heaved a sigh.
"Could we get on with it? I'll tell you. Her mother was Indian and her father was black, but she never knew him."
"Just call me Native Black, or the Black Indian," Zonk snarled the words and glared daggers at Belle.
"Don't, though, 'cause that's not nice," Stinky whispered.
"All right," Belle said, taken aback. Apparently, skin color wasn't a safe topic after all.
"Could we get back to work now, please?"
Trouble's last word was full of sarcasm.
"I'm not through yet," Belle glared at her nemesis. "Don't you want me to get to know your merry band?"
She used sarcasm in return, and Trouble flushed. Back to business, Belle pointed to the know-it-all girl. "I think you're next."
"I'm Midge. I'm 10, and my parents did want me."
She threw a superior look at Pudge and Zonk.
"Well, how come you're here with us losers, then?" Pudge blared.
Midge's lower lip wobbled. She lifted her chin and pushed up her glasses.
"My parents were killed in a car crash when I was 4.
"Oh," Belle said. "I'm sorry." Midge sat again and kept her face down, propped in her hands. The twins stood, arms thrown around each other's shoulders.
"I'm Cecilia Anna Catarina, but everyone calls me Flim," one of them said.
"Me llamo Juanita Maria Angelina," said the other, "but you can call me Flam."
She traded a look with her twin.
"Somos idénticos."
"Yeah," Flim agreed. "We're identical. But once you get to know us, you'll be able to tell us apart, right, guys?"
She looked to the other girls for confirmation.
"Oh, sure," Pudge said, laughing.
"We're good with spitballs," the girl called Flim grinned. "Slingshots, too."
She looked to Trouble.
"Maybe we could use slingshots instead of swords, see?"
Trouble, who leaned against the hollow tree watching, grunted.
"Okay," she grinned. "Save me the headache of trying to teach you, right?"
Good, Belle thought. The kid's sense of humor hadn't left her completely.
"And you?" she asked the littlest girl.
the one with the gorgeous fringe of black eyelashes.
"I'm Thumb," the little one said, from her seat in Zonk's lap.
"What's that you have in your mouth?" Belle asked.
"Duh," Pudge rolled her eyes.
"She wasn't being serious, stupid," Midge hissed.
Thumb smiled at Belle, so Belle ignored the name-calling. "And how old are you?" Four fingers were held aloft. The thumb stayed in the child's mouth.
"She's a good kid," Zonk said. "Just gets kind of tired easy."
"Like you?"
Midge said pointedly. Pudge reached over and smacked Pit Midge's head.
"That's enough, everybody," Trouble said, stepping forward. "And now, if you don't mind, Belle," she said, elbowing her way center stage, "we have a lesson to cover. Why don't you vamoose, and we'll talk to you later."
"Does she have to go?"
Stinky sounded stricken. "Yes." Trouble meant business. Belle couldn't miss that tone of voice. She waved at the lot of girls.
"See you later. Maybe when you're tired of fighting, you can come get flying lessons from me."
She hung around long enough to listen to the trills of excitement followed by Trouble's disgusted refusals before taking her leave. She was sure she could have those girls in the air in a trice. The Lost Boys had never accomplished it, but these just might be different. In spite of her negative opinion of girls, she was willing to lay odds on it. Oh, they'd fly all right. And she'd bet her favorite tiara there'd be some changes in the Neverland once they did. Why, just this morning, when she'd reluctantly trailed the Longboat's drunken progress along shore, she'd seen a salmon jump in their wake. A salmon! There hadn't been salmon around for ages. At noon, when she'd gone to collect honey from the beehive for lunch, she'd heard the bees talking about the dandelions they'd found. Up until now, Fairy's Nook, with its fairy-powered blooms, had been the Neverland's only pollen source. Trouble should understand the importance of getting them all to fly, she fumed as she made herself scarce. But no, the kid only cares about making them a cohesive fighting team. Fighting schmiting. She has her priorities completely backwards. The next day, Belle confronted Trouble as the girl climbed the hollow tree after lunch to fetch her wretched swords. Well? Belle felt as if she might self-combust from sheer frustration. Well, what? Trouble kept her eyes on the tree, choosing her hand and footholds with care.
When are you going to set aside some time for flying lessons?
She could hardly contain her fury. Trouble balanced on a limb and reached for the velour-wrapped sorbs. She shrugged as if it didn't matter in the least.
"Don't you dare take that attitude with me, Missy!"
Belle seethed. "You're only here by my grace, and don't you forget it. That little band of yours, too. You owe me!" The look in Trouble's eyes when they met hers chilled Belle from wingtips to toes.
"Owe you? Oh, so that's it, is it? I'm supposed to be grateful?"
Trouble's voice, like Belle's, was low but filled with equal intensity.
"You think this is just a lark, planning to avenge my parents? This is work. When the work is done, then maybe we'll have time to play your little flying games."
"Games?"
Anger vibrated through her.
"You don't know anything." "Oh," she snarled, "if only Peter were here. He knew fighting only served if you were having fun. You just don't get it. What really important is having a good time."
Trouble looked at her like she was crazy.
"A good time, huh? Well," she said, her voice cold, "I guess you'd know about that, wouldn't you?"
And she climbed down, leaving Belle steaming. The other girls wandered about below, each after her own end. Midge sat against the hollow tree reading a book. Zonk napped next to a fallen birch, Thumb curled up beside her. The twins were having a slingshot marksmanship contest, aiming for Midge's book. Pudge, with Stinky in tow, collected firewood. Pudge wanted to build a bonfire later, and Trouble had agreed, possibly just to get Pudge to be quiet. Didn't Trouble realize the smoke and the glow of the flames would allow Little Jack and his men to track them?
"Well, I'm not going to warn them," Bell muttered. "What happens to them is their own doing." As usual, talking aloud to herself made her feel a little better. She'd taken enough responsibility for this lot. Let them keep on like they were. The pirates would make short work of them. If they lived that long, if they didn't kill each other or themselves first, trouble was off her rocker. These girls were the least likely team she'd ever seen. Grudging cooperation might be possible, but teamwork? Never! "Girls are just plain silly," she growled as she flew off into the light brown afternoon air. The Nook would be a much more welcoming spot than this girl camp was turning out to be. She'd dress up, put on her most dazzling tiara, and try to think of some other clever plan to revive the Neverland. A plan that didn't involve a stubborn kid and her gaggle of girls. "Oh, Peter," she cried as she flew, "they've moved into your underground home. Not trouble, thank goodness, at least that stubborn runt has kept to her hammock, but the others have taken it over. They've assigned themselves each a hollow tree entrance, and they act like they belong there," she wailed. "Oh, I wish they'd all just go away, and how I wish you were here." Bell heaved a sigh. "But you aren't here, are you?" That was the whole point. "If you were here, none of this mess would have happened. I'd still be your fairy. I'd have never needed to adopt little Jack. I'd still be young and beautiful. And Sinkarez, that awful dragon, would still be wherever it came from." She shuddered, thinking of the beast and the havoc it wreaked. "There has to be some way I can solve this problem by myself." Little Jack had let her down, and it seemed trouble was shaping up to be just as unworthy of her trust. "A fairy should know better than to pin her hopes and dearest dreams on humans," she admonished herself. "What has trusting gotten me? Nothing but wrinkles." Fairy's Nook and its patch of green beckoned just ahead. "Oh, good," Belle sighed. She flicked her wings, hoping to revive the numb tips, and prepared to land on her bedroom balcony. "I'll go in, turn on my bubble blower, and make the world go away." An off-white paper fluttering next to her balcony stopped her mid-air. A note. It had to be from little Jack. Trouble didn't know where she lived. Settling, Belle inspected the paper. She admired its high quality, feeling its heavy texture before reading in Jack's loopy script. "Dearest Godmother, please dine with me tonight in my quarters. The chef is preparing all your favorites. It would be my pleasure to celebrate your cleverness in finding Peter Pan's heir. You were right all along. The Neverland needs Pan. I have been a fool. I beg your forgiveness. I am eternally and humbly yours. Your prodigy godson, Captain Little Jack. Postscript. I will await your presence on board the Jolly Roger at moonrise." Belle stared at the note. Suspicion shivered momentarily through her, but she brushed it away. "Oof," she snorted. "Finally, the silly boy has seen the light. I'll enjoy nothing more than pointing out his folly." She shrugged. "And there's absolutely no harm in soaking up a bit of flattery at the same time." Her eyes moved to her closet like iron to a magnet. She tapped her lip with her index finger. "The only question is," she mused, "what to wear?" She swept inside with a flourish. Presenting herself was what she did best. Piper and the lifers sat around the remnants of their bonfire. Its smoldering coals lit their faces in an orange glow. Darkness, thick as day-old macaroni and cheese, clung everywhere but inside their circle. Several pairs of eyelids drooped. They'd actually been having a good time. There had been some argument over who got to do what when, but they'd been singing, dancing, and telling tales for hours.
"But Pipsqueak, why can't we learn to fly?" Pudge whined. "I've been living on spring water and honey. I think I deserve a break."
"You haven't been hungry, have you?" Piper pointed out.
"No, but why should you be the only one getting what you want?"
Pudge thrust out her lower lip and folded her arms across her chest.
"Yeah,"
Zonk suppressed a yawn.
"Belle keeps asking us to do it,"
Midge pointed out. "She must be right. She's lived here a long time."
"White."
Thumb snuggled up to Midge. Piper had noticed the child hadn't seemed to need her delicious friend nearly as much in the last couple of days, nor had she been as fussy. She stuck it in her mouth now, though, and her eyes shuddered closed. Pip frowned at Midge. "There isn't always just one right, you know." Midge made a face and an unintelligible comment under her breath. "There's no telling you that, of course," Piper sighed.
"Where is Belle, anyway?"
Stinky looked around, hopefully. Piper sighed. To Stinky, the fairy was a dream come true. The kid would love to be just like Belle, and everyone knew it. Piper felt an unexpected flash of jealousy. She wished she could inspire such devotion in someone.
"Dunno,"
Piper barked. She saw them all flinch and softened her tone. "Look, guys, it's either fight or flight. You know what I mean? It's my job to be sure we're good at the fighting part. It won't help us when we meet the pirates if all we can do is fly away." She looked around the campfire at the glum faces. Getting to her feet, she stretched and yawned. "Okay, everybody, it's bedtime. We've got an early start tomorrow. Rowing at sunrise."
"Aw, do we have to?"
Groans of protest sounded, but the girls got to their feet. It was still hard to think of them as her merry band, Piper thought.
"Night, Pipsqueak," Pudge mumbled.
"See you tomorrow," Zonk yawned and gathered Thumb from Midge's lap into her arms.
"Sleep tight,"
Stinky called.
"Don't let the bedbugs bite."
Pip watched her troop disappear into the underground home, each through her own hollow tree entrance, except the twins, who shared one. They all swore the entrances fit as if designed for them. She'd wished they'd start calling her Piper Pan, or even just Pan, instead of Pipsqueak, but she knew she had to prove herself to be worthy as their leader. True, she'd helped them to liberty, but this place was barren, dusty, and ugly, never mind cursed by a person-inhaling dragon. They'd made no effort to hide their disappointment. Pudge wanted food, Midge a library, Zonk a comfortable bed, Stinky to be Belle's best friend, the twins to be left alone to their own devices, and Thumb. Piper sighed. She didn't know what Thumb wanted. Still, she was actually in the Neverland. Even more, miracle of miracles, she was Peter's heir. "I'm Piper Pan now," she said softly. A thought sent the corners of Pip's mouth down. "I still can't fly." How could the girls call her Piper Pan when she couldn't fly? Oh, well, she let the worry go. Tomorrow was another day. She climbed the Never Tree to her hammock and made herself comfortable. The stars shimmered faintly overhead, as if they belonged in another world. The strong scent of wood smoke stung her nose. It smelled good. Tonight had been fun, if chaotic. Piper smiled. The girls had earned some fun. They'd been working hard. They were nowhere near a fighting team, but she couldn't deny they were trying. They'd be happier still if she gave them a day with Belle to learn to fly. She knew she'd promised the fairy to learn herself. Piper winced. She'd just pretended it wasn't important this afternoon when Belle confronted her. But the old pixie had been nothing but snotty since their return. First things first, Pip thought. Obviously, the girls' fighting skills weren't so hot. Their sword work was really awful.
Piper had started at 2 years old. She'd forgotten how much repetition was required before the movements came naturally. Right now, if they met armed enemies, they'd be hacked to pieces. "Maybe they should learn to fly soon," she said to the stars, and snorted softly. "My fighting band is going to need a way to keep out of reach." She snuggled in and allowed her eyes to close. She slept so much better here. Even the empty ache of knowing she'd never see her parents again didn't keep her awake long. "Tomorrow," Pip muttered. She'd make arrangements with Belle tomorrow. No doubt it would cheer the fairy up loads to teach her someday to be Mary Band to fly.